This afternoon's shiur is on the topic of the Tu Bishvat mystery. What is the holiday all about? But it's actually a mystery to all of us because we're going to try to delve through it together and figure out what these sources are trying to say with your help. So you all know the first Mishnah, the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Arba Rosh Hashanim Haim. Echad ben Nisan, Rosh Hashanah, right? So we know this already, Rosh Hashanah, Lamalachim, Rulagolim, Echad be'elo, Rosh Hashanah, Lamaisir Behema, right? All those different Shitas. And then, of course, for our purposes, Be'echad be'shvat is Rosh Hashanah la'ilan. Please keep in mind, it does not say ilanot. Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Omrim, Bechamisha Bo. We do not follow the Shita of Beis Shammai, surprisingly, and therefore Shabbos Habalein Latova will be Rosh Hashanah La Ilan. This is tremendous halachic ramifications, halacha lemaisa, because of the following. Halacha lemaisa, this is a tremendous machlokes. Again, the Gemara here in source number one, the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, is going to teach us the following. If Rosh Hashanah la'ilanos for Trumas HaMaestros, for Orla, it is a tremendous nafkamina when it starts to grow from. So for example, the tree that I have this year, which is 3 years old, we are going into the fourth year. If any fruit grew on it from yesterday, from this today, so that would be problematic. But most probably, any fruit that's going to come from it is coming from when? It's coming from later on, which of course would be from Rosh Hashanah and on. So therefore, from 15th and on, we consider that to be the new fruits of the year. So there are tremendous nafkaminas. Okay. The Gemara in source number 2 is the famous Gemara as well. That's the actual Gemara that elaborates on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. This is Yud Dalet on the Mishnah we saw. I'm sorry, Rabbi Lazar, Amar of Ushia. Hoil the Yotza Rov Gishmei Shana, the Adayin Rov Tkufa Shabachutz. Mike Amar, Hachi Kamar, Afal Bisharov Tkufa Bachutz. Hoil the Yotza Rov Gishmei Shana. This is the time of the year where we are supposed to be, although you could look outside and see that that's not so true. Lamaisa. This is supposed to be the dead of winter. And come Shabbos, most of the winter is now over and we're getting a little bit happier because hopefully Rov Gishmei Shana has already fallen. And there is a positive nature. There is, by the way, a halacha to this that's tied in as well when it comes to Rahman al-Sanif. If there had been no rain by this point, so it's considered to be quite serious, certainly here in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, we've had great Gishmei Bracha over the last number of weeks, specifically 2 weeks ago. But la halacha, there are different ways that we would react to there being no rain. Obviously, fast days and the like, this would be a very important time. Says the Gemara, the reason why we are celebrating, commemorating Rosh Hashanah La'ilan is because of what? Tu Bishvat commemorates that now we're at the half point of the year as far as growing of the Ilanot. So, for example, we now know that we've had a lot of rain, Baruch Hashem, and now we know already, we have an idea how the trees are going to grow well. I would assume that in the next year or so, we will find out, coming next year, that it was a very good year for certain types of peiros and vegetables. Why? Because there was so much rain for such a long period of time. Now, it could be sometimes Gishmei Bracha is not always that. We think it is. It could be that there's overwhelming amount of rain when we had a consistent 7 days of rain, it could create flooding where that's not so positive. So obviously the sign of rain is not always a positive sign. So we have to be careful. Okay. Says the Gemara, says Rashi to explain what does this mean, Rov Gishmei Bracha. So source number 3, Rashi says, Be'echa B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. V'ein tormin miperos ilan shenichtu miperos kol. This is what I talked about before about the halachas lemaisa of our trumas and maisas and about orla. Hail the yotzer of gishmei shana v'kshekvar over rov yimois hagashamim shehu zman revius v'ala hasaruf ba ilan. So now you're already starting some sort of what I call a sapling of the ilan. There is already, you could start to see, if you look very, very, very carefully, you can start to see a start of the growth process of some ilanot. The reason why the famous song says, Tu Bishvat Hagiya Chagi Ilanot, how does it really start? Hashkedi Aparachat. Why is Hashkedi? What's Hashkedi? The almond. Yes, the almond. The almond tree is the quickest of the peiros to come out. In this case, it's not. And you could actually, if you start to drive, actually, we're off of 38. So on 38, you already see they have a lot of almond trees. So you start to see white on these bushes. That's a shkedia porachas, because that's the only tree. You're not going to go ahead and start to see apples, and it's not true. Nisan is the time we go out and only see the buds. Here you start to see saplings. Benim Soperus writes that that's what we know, that the beginning is coming. The start of the growing of the peiros starts from now. The obvious question is going to be, of course, well, we're going to see in a moment that there is going to be a halachic ramification to this holiday, right? It's not just something that we talk about and you get buxer in the gan, but it is also a holiday with halachic ramifications. We know, in source number 4, Nogu, Shalod Lipol Alpaneim, the Tu B'Av and the Tu B'Shvat. We do not say Tachanun. So this Shabbos, Habalein L'Toyva, so we're not going to say Avarachman. We're not going to say Sikos Vasedek. That's our commemoration. You don't say Tachanun on Tu B'Shvat. That's why people love when Tu B'Shvat is on Thursday or Monday, but it's Thursday. So those are days that you don't say. Why not? So that's what the halacha is. So says the Magen Avraham. Why? Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah La'ilanot, Benogim Ashkenaz L'harbos B'mimei Peros Shel Ilanot. This is according to the Tikkun Yisachar, and he says that we have this minog to have a lot of peiros. We call the we call the Tu B'Shvat Seder. So yeah, the Arizal bring this, and others bring this as well as a halacha. So the question is why? Let's think for a moment, out of the box. What is the connection between the sapling that we have seen, whatever, we're going to see some sort of something starting, or at least take my word for it, the fruit now is starting to grow, and now having a huge ceremony where you start to eat all different types of fruits from around the fruit trees? Meaning, if you want to commemorate Rosh Hashanah Ilanot, you should eat saplings. I don't know what you do. But what is the connection between eating fruits? This is not the fruit time. You understand? I mean, everybody takes this for granted. We have these seders now. It's become very, very popular. Everybody loves to have a Tu B'Shvat seder. You're having everything under the sun, things you never would normally eat. But why? Why is that connected to Tu B'Shvat? When I told you already, it's a commemoration for what? Tu B'Shvat is the time where Rov Gesham has come upon us already. And what has happened? And now, so the saplings are coming out. Now the growing of the pears are coming out. It is a positive time. It's a time where we're supposed to take solace in knowing that the dead of winter is leaving us. It's half gone. Things are going to get better, right? Singer Pies, you know that the highest rates of suicide is during this time of the year, right? Specifically because of the holiday season and in the Christian world, so Christmas as well, people realize that they're alone, right? There's a lot of suicides. But also it has to do with it getting dark very early. So now this happens to be, L'Havach, it actually works out quite well. Things start turning around. About a week ago, so the clock here in Eretz Yisrael turned around, and the earliest Shabbos was already, and now the Shabbos are getting much later. Not much later, but changed by about 10 minutes every week. So now it's like it gets quote unquote a little bit more normal, because 4 o'clock is Shabbos. Sometimes the earliest 4:20 is Shabbos, and now already it's going to start to get next week. We'll already be closer to 5 o'clock. It's going to breathe a little bit easier. So there is that the days are getting a little bit longer. Again. Question on the table. What's the connection? What does Rosh Hashanah Ilanot have to do with having this huge tujah saying eating all the fruits under the sun? No.
Appreciation. General appreciation for having
taste the fruit. More to that. What?
Taste the, because there's a lot of work we have to do in raising these trees. So
yeah.
We're kind of like taking like a preview to taste of the fruit of our labors.
Very good. What you said as well. But that's I think part of it as well. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot is to get a little taste. Listen, I understand, but let's assume for a moment we're having the wonderful times we had 2 weeks ago where the rain was going like the Rebbe, and it's cold outside and it's bitter cold and it was raining like everything and everybody was very excited. Gishmei Bracha, and it snowed a little bit, yeah? And it was this week and now we're in the middle of that and it's snowing outside and it's raining and stuff. And he's like, oh, right. Tu B'Shvat Hagiya. They're like, what's. So he's like, okay. It's not so easy to have that type of emunah. Let's eat some of these peiros and understand what it is to have the shevach. Obviously, part of the Tu B'Shvat Seder has to do with Eretz Yisrael. We start with, of course, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. We start with wine. We start with, of course, all those delicious fruits that are Meshubach, specifically of Eretz Yisrael, the figs, the dates, and all those types of things. So yeah, so that's a huge part of it. What we're trying to do is we're trying to remind ourselves what we call the peiros. I call the peiros hanoshar, the peiros that come from the little sapling that's going to come. We often forget this. I quoted this morning in thoughts the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin talks about the tree that should be the custom of planting a tree when a child is born. Every child that's born, you should plant a tree, and then when the child becomes whatever the age is, I don't know, from 18 to 20 something, you cut the tree down, at least some of the tree, and you use those branches for the chuppah. Very beautiful minhag they used to have. Think about the idea, right? You plant the tree, the kid comes when he's 3 years old. This is your tree, so honey, this is your tree. 4, 5, 6. But he's seeing the tree, it's growing. Now finally, he's 10, he's 13, he's 14 years old. Wow, the tree's really growing. Now he's 18 years old. Shh, darker tree. This is a tree, this is growing, this is nice.
Does anyone still do that?
What?
Does anyone still do that?
I don't know.
It's very nice.
I don't know. It's interesting when... Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. When I closed on my house in America, Chas V'Shalom, so when we closed on the house, the lawyer said, I have one suggestion for you, please sit down. After the closing was over, he sat us down, because we were like little kids, he thought, you know. Pretty old already, I think it was like 20, I don't know, 26, 27. And that is old, yeah. So he sat us down, he says, I have to talk to you about something. So we thought, oh my God, like, you know, he wants more money from us, something. I'm looking for the scam, of course. And he says, I want to tell you something that I tell all my clients, and you have to promise me you're going to do it. So what is it? You know, give me more money. What? No, he says, you have to when you get to your house. I want you to plant a tree. Because now you're going to plant a tree. This is your first home. And that tree is going to grow and grow. And for many, many years, you're going to see the tree. And then your grandchildren are going to come in. And he tells me a story about his home that he did that. And then he sold his house and he bought another house. And years ago, he took his grandchildren and he knocked on the door. And he says, I used to own this house. Let me see the tree. He's telling this whole beautiful story. There's a Gemara like this. You know, the Gemara, we plant the tree. And he says, it's only for future generations. Okay, fine. So my wife and I looked at him and says, oh yeah, this is just a temporary house. We're moving to Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a Shiloh. So he was like, oh, okay. We didn't plant that tree, but it is a beautiful thing. We Baruch Hashem had the zechus of planting trees here in Eretz Yisrael, which is part of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Just read a Shiloh from Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein had the following Shiloh. Ma'isu shilhoyo kachoyo. Listen to the Shiloh. Apartment house, they decide that they want to build it a little bit, they want to make it look a little bit aesthetically more pleasing. So they decide they want to start to put flowers. They want to, this is actually from a few weeks ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think I'm mistaken. From a few weeks ago, Rav Zilberstein, Baruch Hashem, I told you in the past, he was a bit ill from around Rosh Hashanah time. So I see that he's already giving shurim only in Bnei Brak, not in Cholon, so I don't know if he's completely healed. But a few weeks ago, he gave the following shiloh. So they want to spruce up the place a bit. So they decide that along the, they have like an open area where the apartment house is, they're going to put flowers all around. Very, very nice idea. And comes along the some of the neighbors, the people in the apartment house, and they complain, we don't want flowers. Why don't you want flowers? Our kids like to play outside, soccer, whatever, football, whatever it might be. They play soccer outside. They're going to ruin all the flowers. They're going to start screaming at us, you're ruining the flowers. This is part of our land. We don't want it like this. Never was like this before. The flowers, the kids are going to have to be careful now. It's not right. So Shiloh was who wins. So part of his argument was based on Achronim that he quoted, what is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So he said that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is buying a house in Eretz Yisrael and planting trees in Eretz Yisrael in that order. So meaning if you had a choice of one or the other. So if you were, let's say you have this open field and you say, oh, I'm JNF and we're going to build a beautiful, we're going to start planting everybody, all the crazy Americans, they're going to come and they're going to start planting, thinking they're doing such a great Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. They plant, 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 plant. And a guy comes and he says to JNF, what are you doing? I want to build houses here. So halachically, who wins out? Houses win out. To live in Eretz Yisrael, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is better than plant, even if it's fruit trees. But second to that, say Rav Zilberstein said, flowers though are not part of it. He didn't think flowers were part of that. Trees, actual trees, or fruit trees possibly. But trees. So he says, this is not a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So you have no taina it's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And I think he was sad lahakel to say that maybe they shouldn't plant it, plant the flowers. But in any case, we see the planting of fruit trees. I had this chus when I live in Eretz Yisrael. And so we have, Baruch Hashem, two fruit trees. We're supposed to have three fruit trees, but the very nice Arab that helped us with our garden. So one of the trees that he gave us was, in fact, not a fruit tree. It was a thorn bush. In any case, so very surprising. Yep. So you get what you pay for. So we have a beautiful Rimon tree and a beautiful clementine tree, clementina. And Baruch Hashem, we're still in Orla. Those that were here this morning, you heard my horrible story about my Orla mistake I made this year. But we're still in Orla, and Baruch Hashem, next year we'll be able to have these delicious fruits.
Yeah, didn't you eat those?
Yes, I didn't. Baruch Hashem, I didn't eat it, but it was a huge problem. But
you gave
not
away
for
the Rimonim or stuff?
Yeah, I gave away the Rimonim to everybody, and then we found out it's still Orla. It was a whole shtickle Torah. I had asked the Rav, and he had paskin for me that this year was not Orla because the first year was already counted because of the way that the tree was taken out. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I didn't want to besuffig, make everybody chayav through a kula that I got from one rub. So I called the other rabbanim, and then I joked today's thing, but this is actually a true story. Who paskin my final halacha of what to do? I called Rav Rimon. A Rimon tree. Pretty stark, huh? Wow. Rav Rimon is the expert from the Gush area. Tremendous expert in this inyan. So he told me that, no, you have to take back all the Rimonim. What an embarrassing situation. Huh? Sure.
What if somebody...
Yeah, so that happened already. So they all... It was right before Rosh Hashanah. I told them they're all going to die within the year now because they ate all the things. There were a lot of people upset. The most upset was my neighbor who had opened up about 5, 6, 7 Rimonim and put them this huge... They had like a centerpiece in their home. They used ours. Very nice. And it was all... Yeah, so I... Or Rimon Paskin, that it's not...
It's like an iterator, right?
It's a suffix. It was a case of suffix. So we were done. It was... we don't talk anymore. So it was... But this thing embarrassing. I thought the Rebbe Shalom was trying to teach me a lesson to humble myself before approaching him during Rosh Hashanah. So I asked Rebbe if I could speak in the yeshiva because I wanted to tell over the story. He said no. But it would be a good... Poor shofar blowing. You tell the story how you humbled yourself and you did a nice thing. And now what I did was I then ran to the Merkaz. It was Mamash Erev Rosh Hashanah. And I ran there. It was closed already. I begged them. I said, I need Rimonim. You don't understand that.
I bought
like 50 Rimonim from the outside vendor. It was crazy. Anyway, I got all the Rimonim and I switched it with everybody. But some people didn't know which one was which. It was usually easier to find because the way that we plucked the trees, we were the only ones that actually had a piece of the tree still on it. So it was a little bit easy to find. In any case, okay, you make mistakes. But we had the tremendous zechus to plant trees of Eretz Yisrael. Wow, what an amazing thing. So you're correct in what you both said. The idea of it, this being Rosh Hashanah Lilanot, this beautiful idea that you're remembering what the future is going to be, what the payros are. So I gave this mashal, I believe I heard this mashal from Rav Meir Goldwicht, if I'm not mistaken, based on Sifrei Kabbalah, what Tu B'Shvat signifies. I'll just say it outside for a moment, and we'll see some of the sources. Maybe, hopefully, some of the sources say that. The roots of a tree is tefillah, the bark is Torah, and the payros are Maisim Tovim. All three things have to be well founded and well documented, if you will, in life.
You said it again.
Sure, honey. So, again, according to Sifrei Kabbalah, the roots are the tefillah. That is literally the roots of any good relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, to connect to Ribbono Shel Olam. The Torah is the bark, right? If you look back at the esrog tree, the bark has a taste to it, has a smell to it. And the payros, the actual payros that could come years and years later, of the Masim Tovim. That is a good Jew. You have to be saved. Adam ki eitz asada. Adam is compared to a tree. It's a very interesting analogy that Adam is compared to a tree. And that's the reason. You have to have all three of these things. It's interesting that the roots, you would think that the roots would be, we say eitz chayim hilamachas yigimbo. So we think that that would be Torah. But we see that the roots are tefillah. So I quoted for the boys this morning what I thought was a very interesting ha'ara. And that this is interesting. This week is the yurtzeit of Rav Menachem Breyer, Rabbi Dr. Menachem Breyer, who is the father of the Yonah Rebbe. So I come from Yonah Rebbe stock. I am not a Rebbe, but I am from the Yonah Hasidim. So we had Breyer was also a professor in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak, in NYU. He was a professor in NYU. Yeah, so that was a very interesting history that he has. In any case, I saw told the boys over the story. I once got a bracha from the Biyana Rebbe because I was 24 years old and I wasn't married yet. It was a very, very serious situation. So you can imagine a firm boy, 24 years old, and not married. How are you talking? So, yeah.
You related to them?
Yeah. We're related. My grandfather used to say some crazy thing that if 64 Biyana Hasidim die at the same time, I become the next Biyana Rebbe. So for a while I was davening for that, and then I realized that that's not really so appropriate. You know, the Biyana Rebbe became the Biyana Rebbe when he was like 20 something years old. He was very, very young. He's the grandson of the Biyana Rebbe. And many people know his sister lives in Teaneck. She lives in Dickerson. He goes to visit her. She's related to the Teaneck. I'm saying, she's a modern Orthodox. So, yeah. So I try to chat to meet him because I used to give a shir with somebody who lived across the street. When I gave a shir, he used to come to my shir. He says, yeah, the Rebbe comes. It's like a funny thing. You know, this, I don't know if you know, the Biyana Rebbe is quite a popular Rebbe. And it's the hundreds of Hasidim. He really revamped the whole Biyana Hasidim. The Biyana will just give you an idea. So we're all from the same. I'm related to the Rebbe over here, the Ol Yisrael. The Ol Yisrael from the Abdur Rav. So this is all the Kapishnitz is all from the family of Wirzhin. Wirzhin was the famous family from David HaMelech of great glory, the Sadegar Rebbe, who died a few weeks ago. So this is all from
Rebbe died?
The Sadegar Rebbe.
What's
the different? Sadegar Rebbe is one of the original Hasidim from the original Rebbes. There's all these different Rebbes. So we're connected because the Biyana Rebbe, there were two Biyana Rebbes. One went to after the war. I'm mistaken with Mordechai, so he went to America, and my grandfather knew him quite well. They were quite close. My father always tells me that when my grandfather was sitting Shiva, so he remembers when the Biyana Rebbe came in. He was a little kid. And my father said, right when he walked in, he had this regal. He used to have, they tell that the Bekeshes used to have gold buttons. They would sew it with actual real gold thread. It was like, they had this Malchus. They believed in Malchus. So I thought, wow, that's a real rabbi. Like, you could see the God was. That's what they believe.
Where are your pays?
Yeah. So, good question. So, yeah, it's funny you say that because when I was living in Teaneck, when we first lived in the apartments. So I had a relationship with the Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva Gedoyel of Teaneck, is where I used to daven, Rav Chaim Cohen. Rav Chaim Cohen is an amazing individual. He's a very, very famous Rav in the area of Choshe Mishpat, of Business Halacha. He's the Dayan of the Kal Das Yeshurin, but he's also a Gera Chassid. He now heads the Gera Base Medrash in the Flatbush. So it's like a weird, he broyers this and that, and he's in this YU Teaneck community. It's a very interesting mix. So, we used to talk a lot. He's a very, very amazing individual. So I once was walking him home from the shul on Friday night, and he started to tell him over his shtickle piece I was learning, and this was the wrong thing to tell him. I was telling him over a brisk Rav Chaim. He said, you know, Rav Chaim says, Feidinim, he stops me and says, can I ask you a question? You're from the Biyana Rebbe. You're quoting briskers. You're learning it. I was learning for Smicha. You're learning for Smicha from Rav Aaron Salvechi. What happened to you? Where's your Bekesha? Where's your payas? You know, like, you know, who would think a Biyana Chesed is quoting Rav Chaim? You know, like, it's the worst thing I ever did. You know, I didn't think it was so bad. So I was going to whisper to him, you know, you also have matzah balls on Pesach. But I didn't want to upset him too much.
Yeah, you know, your Purim costume.
Yeah. So my grandfather was very, very mocked, but on Gebrox. Except we weren't so, I remember, we weren't always so honest with him. We used to go to a hotel that used to have stars. And if it was a star, it meant that it was Gebrux free. It had no Gebrux in it. So sometimes it was so difficult, it had nothing you could have. So we used to tell him that anything without a star, you can have, Grandpa. So he'd be like, wow, the masterful soup is Gebrux free. That's amazing. They only had like a consomme soup and flanken chicken. You know, like, we felt bad. Anyway, but okay, it's our own sin. So, yeah. So back to the Biyana Rebbe. So he wrote this kuntras on Tu Bishvat. I have to go through my house to see if I can find it. It seemed like it's a very interesting kuntras from what I wrote here. So he tells over the little piece that I wrote. I think is the same word over here. I believe it's the same word. He said that the Biyana Hasidim became very, very close to the holiday of Tu Bishvat because of their connection to three important elements of Hasidus. And they said here, I guess, Biyana Hasidus. And this is very interesting. My grandfather was, I remember my grandfather saying this. And that is Torah, of course, Hasidus, and Avos Eretz Yisrael. So when the Biyana Hasidim traveled back to Eretz Yisrael, the Tu Bishvat became so special. We see, by the way, that there are two segments that celebrate Tu Bishvat Begadol in a real way. The religious Zionists and the Hasidim. It's very very interesting if you think about it. Those are the two that have this, these seders. You go up to a regular Litvish guy that's voting for Gimel on Tuesday, and you say to him, "Are you having a seder?" And he says, "Yes, of course I'm having a seder. Why are you asking me so early? You know, it's not Pesach yet." Well, he thinks it's a new chumrah. Wow, we got to compare for Pesach already by two Mishpat. Ah, that's a, you know, there are certain families where already by Purim, there are rooms. One second, there are rooms you're not allowed to go into. Right, they're ready. That's where they start. They go, okay, it's Purim now. No more food in the basement. You know, now it's the 28th of Adar. So now there's a new chumra. You can't already. You have to have a seder already from. Yeah, go ahead. Tiferes Moshe. Tiferes Moshe.
I got my buckser in the bag.
Yeah. So that's what I said this morning. It's Nebuch in America. Lolino in America and Canada. I'm probably sure. So what was the? Everybody would say, oh, today's Tu B'Shvat. You know, and every year you forgot. And then it would come, they would knock on the door, the PTA president would bring this beautiful, right, wrapped up thing, looks like a candy dish, and like, oh, you're excited, they open it up, and they go, oy vey, there's figs, and dates, and buckser, and then all of a sudden, you're excited about raisins. Like, oh, raisins, yay, oh, almonds, yeah, you know, the kids can't eat. So I think that's chaval, I wonder why they don't have, you know, I don't know, other things would be nice too.
Cookies.
Have a nice pineapple. I don't know.
Cookies shaped like figs.
Right. Yeah, they got to come up with better stuff. Anyway. But also, Rabbi,
paper bags of these.
Rabbi, you should realize that also. Okay, a buckser. I can't give you a. I can't help you with buckser. But in general, I think that there is, you know. I'm not into this, but my wife is into this. She says that figs and dates, for example, which I happen not to like, but if you have real fresh ones. Are unbelievable. They taste delicious. There's a huge difference between them. Right. Right. So keep that in mind. It's you know, just because we have the ones from, you know, 1984 doesn't mean that they're not the
Shuba 75 years ago.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that was the buckser tree. No, it's true. That's the story in the Gemara about the buckser tree is growing and growing for my grandchild. Why grow for your grandchild? He says, because that's what we do. That's the dairus.
Why is it supposed to taste good?
Something else that will enjoy.
Why not plant something else that will your fruit now and continue going until
then? Yeah, so that's, I don't have a great answer for you. Yeah, I don't have a great answer for you. It's true. Well, I don't. And also buckser, I just don't know what you do with buckser. I can't figure it out yet.
I don't know what that is.
It's a carob. It's a carob bush. But they make carob. They
never
make,
know we get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you
there's a carob dip. My wife also has that. It's on this crazy diet now. Oh, it's delicious. Carob. It's just like chocolate. I'm like, guess what? If it doesn't say chocolate on it, it's not chocolate. It's carob. It looks like chocolate. Big deal. It looks like chocolate. I'm not going to eat something that looks like chocolate. I'd have the real thing. So, the case that I was just telling you was the famous case of Choni Amagel. We know we love Choni Amagel. He's, I'm sorry. Go back to Choni Amagel. I will tell the Biyana story. I'm sorry. So I think that this is exactly what I said in this piece in the Kabbalah. I think that the Biyana Chasidim were doing this. Chasidus really means what? It's tefillah. It's connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, those are the roots. So they said the Chasidus, which I think today, I hate to tell you this, but I think we are all Chasidim today. Not just in Leva Torah, even in Gush. Why do I say that? Because think about it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that many boys today, I heard this from a Kefet, so it has to be true. And that is that we all have this desire to have connections with our Rabbeim. We all want to get closer to Rabbeim. We all want to hopefully have a nice davening. Most people appreciate a good davening, even a Karl Bach type of davening. Most people. So that's a Hasidish approach, right? Hasidim, of course, this beautiful idea of getting close to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Devekus, right? And that being a very important part of your life. So I think that, I know that this firm HaKadoshim write about it before there was Hasidus, and the Musar say write about it before there was Hasidus. But that is a unique idea. So that's the tefillah, that's the roots. The roots have to be in what they call Hasidus, but I can call just a connection to Devekus Bashem. Tefillah is that Devekus Bashem. What's the point of learning Torah if you have no Devekus Bashem? What's the point? It's the famous Gemara. Birchu b'Torah tchila. Right? The famous Gemara, Lama Azar. It's why? Because to learn Torah just stam, and you don't really have a devekus, you don't have a connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, so it's worthless. Then you have the Torah, even the Chasim would admit this Torah. And then the Masim Tovim, I think, is that Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. What a beautiful thing for them to say. Ahavas Eretz Yisrael. That's the Masim Tovim. You know, it's a famous idea. Rabbi Siv wrote about this, I think, in one of the YU pamphlets that they send out. The famous Gemara that tells us somebody who is doing the mitzvahs in the chutz la'aretz, what is it, kiilu? It's It's nothing.
Last year.
What?
Last year.
Yeah. It's nothing, Kilu, right? It's not doing his practice. Ramban's practice. What is going on here? So one Shita says that the idea is that everything is more Meshubach in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Nobody, right? Everybody seems to agree you're doing the mitzvahs when you do them in Chutz La'aretz. But there's a difference between putting tefillin on in Eretz Yisrael and putting tefillin on in any other place. Right? There are those, I'm not sure what the sheet is. There are those who hold that when a person lands in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rav Hortner said this, and it's quoted in the name of Rav Nevinson, I'm not sure if it's true, but Rav Hortner writes this, that you should put tefillin on again. So there's a shekhar dusha level. So the chassid might say, like, again, got it right. Meisim tovim be'eretz Yisrael, ahavas Eretz Yisrael, right? Doing it is amazing, amazing. Just because we're in Yonah Diyom of elections. So I remember many years ago, before I moved to Eretz Yisrael, there was another party by the name of Tommy Lapid. Tommy Lapid's son is running, Yossi Lapid, who claims not to be like his father, but Tommy Lapid. Baruch Hashem, we're in there, so I can talk to you a little about. So Tommy was not the most lover of Judaism, of religious Judaism. So he had his famous commercials where he took products that had hashkachas on it, like soap detergent and toilet paper and all these different things, and he made fun of it. Well, this is what we need in the Medina to have this crazy stuff, whatever. Fine. So he was very anti. So one time they interviewed him. This is awesome. You have to be very careful, right? Because he might be someone who certainly we wouldn't wouldn't love to whatever. But so they asked him the following question. They said to him, what kind of state is this going to be? You don't believe in Torah mitzvahs. You don't believe that this is a guy interviewing him who was a religious guy. You know, all these different things. Excuse me. Can I ask you a question? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he says, anybody who lives in the Chutz La'aretz, you're not doing any mitzvahs. Kimlo enu aloka. And he goes, I'm every second of my day doing the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What are you doing? Kol ha'olech dalad amos Eretz Yisrael. No, I didn't say that. But, right. Okay, he was quoting from the famous other Zionist, but non-religious, about the importance. It's true, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is important.
The only mitzvah of the Torah.
Correct, and we religious Zionists believe
Shabbos
that.
Shabbos and Kashrus is two. It's two. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one.
It's good.
You should do both. I think you should do all three.
Do all three, but one, I don't know.
But you're not doing it. You're not doing the third. I don't want to make you feel bad, but you're not doing it. So who are you to tell me? I live in Eretz Yisrael. Who are you?
No,
you're saying you're looking down on me because I look in Eretz Yisrael, and I think that's wrong. No, I'm kidding. So you're right, in a Hanami, of course, we're on the same page, my friend. I'm not with Tommy Lapid, but I'm just pointing out the opposite. That for the Hasidim to say, for the Biyana Hasidim specifically, to say that Eretz Yisrael is the, I think that's the Masim Toivim, because doing mitzvahs. Somebody who is Shomer Kashrus and Shomer Mitzvahs and Shomer Shabbos and Shomer Nagia and Shomer everything else, and he's an Eretz Yisrael, that's the Meisim Toivim is better. Again, back to this idea that I said, because the mitzvahs they're doing is just, it's a different life. It's not that they're not doing mitzvahs outside of Israel. It's not that it's practice Gila. But there's a, why? Because there's everything I just spoke about. There's the Torah of Eretz Yisrael and Torah Ketar Eretz Yisrael. I forgot who it was. Some mitzvahs you can't do in Chutz La'aretz. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying that.
Okay, there's also some mitzvahs I can't do because I'm not a Kohen and I'm not a Levi. And there are mitzvahs I can't do because I'm not a woman, and there's mitzvahs I can't do because, yeah, I understand. I don't disagree with you, but you could do a lot more mitzvahs in Eretz Israel. You agree. Thank you. So that's that. Okay. Now, so on that idea, so this is also, we see this in the Mishnah Berurah as well. That it's Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, and fine. So that we see already. Source number 7. A dear friend, 7 and 8, is of course the Yalka Yosef, Ravad Yosef. This is not a political statement. He wrote a sefer. He's also the Shas, the head of the Shas
did
party.
Did he just come out and say you shouldn't go for Biden?
Yeah. I cannot comment on this.
I know
time.
He did, because I read it.
I don't know. I know that he was in the hospital with a mini stroke. I don't know what the most recent hawk is. So, if you look at the Yalkut Yosef, he says what the minhagim of Tu B'Shvat are. It's a yom dina l'peiros. V'ein dor muchachim ki bi emes nira she'ein yom dim al peiros ay elu. Ella Atzeres. So he says, didn't we know that Shavuos, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says? So he quotes, according to this Shita, in this Sefer Adonai Paz, that says that they're judged on this day, so we eat them to remember that they're being judged. He says, but we thought Atzeres is when they're judged. We say that Shavuos is their judge. In the first Gemara, Umashi nikvah b'tu b'shvat Rosh Hashanah le'ilano tu mipnei sha'az yotzu rov gishmei shana. Gemara, we saw Rosh Hashanah. Uperish Rashik for Avru Rov Yomot Hashanah. All the things we just said. Umotzu Peris. Fine. The Goyin or Chaim Noah Zatzal. Shinois bin his Sefer Shonas Chaim Kosov. Chaim Noah. Shitas Chaim Noah. Shamoni Ha'am. Toinim Vechoshim Shetubishvat Hu Yom Din Lain Lonos. It's not. Okay, so he has a machlokes of that's not Yom Dimni Lanos Yishkaya. And then he says, so what do we do in this time? This is a very interesting Yalkut Yosef here, I think. Number Ches, I never knew this before. Yesh Noagim Lerkarch Eta Etrog Besukar Ulasos Riba Olacho Belel to Bishvat. You're supposed to now take the Etrog that you had already when? Already from Sukkot. You're supposed to have added to it and make it into a jelly, and that jelly is eaten on the two bishvat shayda. The ein levarach al shachianu l'chol adeos ha'oichel kvar parin birech alav shachianu. Okay, fine. So he said there's something special about the esrog. I think I pointed this out before, what the esrog symbolizes. The only tree that has a trunk, that has taste. Okay, whatever. We see that the tree in general has a yisoid in the Torah. Trees, of course, from Gan Eden to Noah planted a tree right when he got out of the Teva, to Avram Avinu planted the Eshel tree, Yaakov Avinu as well, right, took the Eitzim, the Eretz Yisrael, but they're going to use the Shittim later on in the Mishkan. Yamsuf, there was no Mayim in the sixth parsha. What happens? They throw what into it to make it sweet? A tree, a bark. And we see the tribes of Mashiach as well. We are told this. Two pieces here from the Bnei Yisrael we don't have time to delve into, but here the Bnei Yisrael in source number 9 and source number 10 is a beautiful maimer on this, of Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, that I pointed you at before. Dafka, it says the word Ilan and not Ilanot. So he says, Lo Amar Le'ilanot Kamo Be'erech, not the way we said, Yesh L'Rameis, Masha Kiblu Me'evar Vosenu, She's Pa'alu B'tu B'Shvat, Al Eser Kosher V'Yach. What an unbelievable idea, that we start davening on the Ilan. The tree of all trees is considered the Esrog tree. Why? Because of course many Shittos say that was the pre of Eitz Hadas, and so here we use a Pekdusha, and therefore there is this Inyan that you're supposed to have special tefillos, that it should be a kosher of a Yofer Mehuda, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should be Mazmin for you this very beautiful fruit from the Esrog tree this year. Kineza Hayom Asher Oyla Hasaraf Beilanot. That's when the blossoming is going to start, as I told you, the sapling, and therefore that's when you should start the tefillah process. Obviously, you understand that the Bnei Yisrael is talking also on a very high level of what that means, the Esrog. Who is the Esrog in the realm of Sukkot? The Esrog is the one that has it all. So that we're davening for that too. It's the Yisoid, we're speaking Belushan Remiza here. But that's, I think, what he's getting at as well. And that's why it says Ilan and not Ilanot. It's an ideal. Just like I said. Fine. Okay. And then he continues in another mimer. He has another beautiful idea, I think. And also it's 40 days before Chafei Adar, Ki Adam Eitz Asada. So there's a comparison, as I told you before. I told the story about Choni Hamagel. The story of Choni Hamagel, of course, he's asked the person to put a tree. And he said, you're not going to see the pears for 70 years. So if Cook comments on this, he says, this is it. That is the Chaim. That is what we're trying to get. That is the Eitz Chaim Hilamachazikimo. It's a growth for the next generation. So he was making a point, Choni Hamagel, Dafkin, take a tree that's not going to grow for 70 years. Oh! Because they'll be here. And they came to visit it later and see, oh, this is the tree Choni Hamagel for the future generations. That's an idea that's quoted. Okay, let's finish off. I quoted number 11 already. We saw in this week's parasha about throwing the bark in, because as I told you before, this is symbolized, the tree is the Eitz Hasad, is the person. It symbolized something else. Finally, two sources. Source in Tanis Daf Hey Amud Beis. We make the bracha, of course, al hamichya, only on peiros hamishubachos mi'aretz Yisrael. Zayin mina. So the Gemara says, the famous Gemara. This is a famous Gemara. If you ever want to say something nice about your parents, you want to get them a cutout, you want to do this. This is the Gemara you quote. Amar, Ilan, Ilan, b'madrecha. My dear tree, what should I bless you? Amar, very good. Omer, shehu, sheyu peirosav misukan. Hari peiros misukan. Right? Shiyu, right? Sail, no, no. What's the best thing? Ela yihiratun shechon netiyas nitu mimenecha, yu kamoscha. Everything should be like you. The peiros should be like the tree, the roots, it's a bracha for children. We say that the children should be like the parents. I don't know if that's such a bracha. Depends who your parents are, yeah? But that's the idea. We say you have the strong roots. You have the strong Torah, you have the strong mitzvahs, and now the peiros should be like the roots. Strong. And that's what we hope, that the Masim Toivim are strong as well. And that is the bracha. Finally, we see in the Bach, in source number 13, the Kedusha Sa'aretz, Hanishpa'et B'Kedusha Sa'aretz Elyona, Hi Nifsha Ala Peiroso, Sheyokim B'Kedusha Sa'shchina. That there is a relationship dafka to use the peiros hakadoshim of Eretz Yisrael at our Tu B'Shvat Seder, because that is a relationship to the Shechina when we came into Eretz Yisrael. L'chein anusach v'brocha nochol mitpriach v'rispom mituva v'brecha la b'kdusha v'toyra ki ochol mitpeirosa anu nizar mitkdusha Shechina. It's very hard to imagine this, but when we have a fig, when we have rimon, we have a special bracha, not just a bar in the fashos, because these are the peiros that draw us close to the Shechina HaKadosh. There's a very high level to that. Again, on a very high level to understand this as well. But that's the idea. I think that my final comment is that there has to be a relationship to entering Eretz Yisrael for these special fruits. There's a special simcha that we have to these fruits itself. Maybe that's why, but the simcha of the Torah that we have every year is not ended with the last pasuk of the Torah. It starts with Bereishis. We start again Bereishis, and we learn about the eights, right? We learn about that. Why? Because that is the true simcha. The true simcha is the haschala of it. Again, planting a new tree, going on. So maybe Ilan Ma'avarecha is that my children should be like me. What does it mean my children should be like me? Back to the Choni Amagel story. That they're actually going to plant things that they're not going to see the parents are notion for. But the children will see. I'm doing something for future generations. So I know that I'm not so stark in learning. But I'm going to learn a lot now so that my kids will understand the importance of learning, and maybe they'll learn even better than I can ever learn. That's a tremendous bracha that we have. So I think the Tu B'Shvat is a halachic inyan. There's halachic ramifications, as I told you before, Shemitah, Orla, all those things. There's also tremendous ramifications, Misat Hashkafa, as we saw, hopefully we delved into. How important this holiday is, Misat Hashkafa, bringing us now to a new realm, where Baruch Hashem, a month away from Purim, 2 months away from Pesach. Mamash, crazy to think this. Don't tell your wives. No, you don't have any wives. Plus you're scared. We have to start preparing ourselves. So here, what we call the dead of winter, the coldness outside, almost 52 degrees today. But we should concentrate on the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam has given us a tremendous
65.
Not 65 outside, but okay. But he's given us a tremendous bracha, and we should recognize what it is to be a tree, and to take that level that I spoke about, the roots, the tefillah. So you guys are Baruch Hashem Shana Bet and alumni. And we should concentrate on that idea as well. Strengthening our tefillah, strengthening so that our ma'asim tovim are true, in the true sense of the word. And we should be all be zochah to reach that level, and Mirtz Hashem, very soon in our days.
Amen.